they asked who John was. Who are you? And he said, I'm just a voice crying in the wilderness. And we're in the wilderness for the second week in a row. So if you got a copy of Matthew, got a copy of God's Word, turn with me to the Gospel of Matthew, the third chapter. In the preaching of John, it's a twofold message, repentance and baptism. Last week, we examined repentance, and today we're going to look at baptism, one of the hallmark features of John's ministry. We're going to take the scripture reading up in verse 11, read through verse 17. Follow along if you are able. John said this, I baptize you with water for repentance. But he who is coming after me is mightier than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand, and he will clear his threshing floor and gather his wheat into the barn, but the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire. And then Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan to John to be baptized by him. John would have prevented him saying, I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me? But Jesus answered him, let it be so now, for thus it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he consented. And when Jesus was baptized, immediately he went up from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove coming to rest on him. And behold, a voice from heaven said, this is my beloved Son with whom I am well pleased. Baptism. Repentance and baptism, the hallmark features of John's preaching, which I submit to you. He is known for his preaching first, his prayer second, and his baptizing third, in my honest opinion. Take that for what it is. He shared this message from God about repentance and baptism. And today I want to highlight the baptism portion of that message, also handle the baptism of Christ, and not just from a superficial way, get baptized. That doesn't do the text justice. I want to show you four elements that shape our understanding of baptism. So the first element, we deal with the core beliefs about baptism. Baptism is what John is known for. He is John the Baptist. He was the guy, the prophet, the voice in the wilderness who baptized people. Now, when we talk about Baptist, sadly enough, or blessedly enough, we think of Baptist in terms of buffets and how much can we eat. I kid you not. But he was known for his preaching, and then he baptized people. Baptism, the actual word definition, means dipping or immersing. It means someone has made a profession of faith. Now, the Jews had ritualistic cleansing of washings, of purification, but nothing like this. So when John said, you need to get baptized, there was shock. We Jews don't do that. Before he said, get baptized, he said, repent. Get your heart right with God, then get in the waters to signify what happened. Repent, get baptized. Why? Because the Lord God is on his way. I'm not worthy to even tie his sandals. He's mightier than I. I'm just a voice. So after hearing John preach, they confessed their sins. They realized that they were a sinner separated from the love of God. and they confessed their sins. And they got baptized in the Jordan River. Now, this was water baptism. Water baptism was done after a person believed. They placed their faith in Jesus Christ. So oftentimes when we say baptism, that's what we think about. Like last week, second service, we baptized someone in the water. The apostles in the early church did this mode or methodology of baptism after belief. What the Bible, in my opinion, clearly teaches, after a person places their faith in Jesus Christ, that is the moment we talk about water baptism. There is nothing salvific about the water we pump in this tub behind me. I wish there were. It's just City of Neosho water. I don't even pray over that water. Now, our deacons clean that tub, just so you know, it is cleansed, but not by the Holy Spirit. Amen? I wish that water could save people. If that were so, I would never have it emptied. I'd be pouring bleach in that tub every week if that water could save your soul. I would stand on the road and block traffic and say, just go get dipped in that water. If it could save their souls, I would do it. But it cannot. The notion that water can save you is an absolute abysmal approach to Scripture. Can I get on a stump and preach real quick? And get on a high horse? This notion of what we call baptismal regeneration, the idea that water can save you, is a farce. It started with the writings of Augustine in about 400 AD, and the notion of taking one or two statements from a church father is poor scholarship. And that didn't even really begin until about 490, 500 AD to 1500 AD, called the medieval era, in which the Roman Catholic Church pursued baptismal regeneration. In fact, in the States, here where we're at, that didn't take place about the 1820s with the Disciples of Christ denomination. Let me tell you this, that does not occur in Scripture. It didn't happen with the apostles' ministry, and it did not take place in the early church. Let me give you a biblical response, the core belief about baptism, about water. It can do nothing but get you wet, but the Holy Spirit can save you. Let me get off my high horse. The problem with this, any guy with a couple Bible dictionaries and reading through God's word can clearly see, water cannot save. Every time someone says, I need to get baptized, I want to talk about your confession of sins. I want to talk about repentance, where you are broken over your sin, where you realize you're in need of a Savior and you trust in the only one who can save you. Those are our core beliefs of baptism. But let me talk about the Spirit baptism. That moment when a person cries out to the only one who can save, the God of heaven, and says, I believe in Jesus Christ that he died on the cross for my sins. I repent. I place my faith in him. The Holy Spirit then enters into that individual's life and changes them, changes their soul. They're therefore different. That Romans chapter 6, verse 4 has nothing to do with water, has everything to do with the Holy Spirit. Romans chapter 6, verse 4, we were buried therefore with him by baptism into death. We died to self. In order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. Those are our core beliefs, the big beliefs about baptism. Back in Matthew chapter 3, we're going to backtrack just a few verses to verses 5 and 6. It says this, then Jerusalem and all Judea and all the region about the Jordan were going out to him, John, and they were baptized by him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. We see this second element about baptism, our biblical understanding. We see this, it's the call to take the next step. It's the call to take the next step. People came from all these different areas, various demographics, to witness the spectacle, which is John the Baptist. You remember, he looks like Elijah. He got that camel hair vest, got the leather belt. He eats wild locusts and honey. They want to see, who is this guy, the voice in the wilderness? And John preached, God is on his way, and therefore you need to repent. So the first step is to believe in Christ, the Messiah, the one who is to come, the anointed one of God. Place your faith in him, repent of your sins. And then when that happens, you're converted, regenerated, saved, you're born again. That's step number one. I believe that happens at the same time. But we don't stop in step number one. We have to keep going. We're not finished yet as believers, as those hear the voice of God. We're not finished yet. You got to take that next step. I don't know about anybody else. I get so aggravated with my apps on my phone. At times, I hate technology. Yes, I'm the least advanced on staff with technology. I had to go, got on my phone, and something happened, and it forgot my username and password. I don't know my username. So you click on the button or the link that says you forgot your username. And then you have to get a new username. Yes, finished. And you know what else I have to do? Password. I said, oh no. And then I don't have anybody else, that it gives you a suggestion. Here is a suggestion for your new password. It's a host of characters and numbers and symbols. It's nothing more than speaking in tongues. There is no way I can remember that. Got it done. But they said, to finish this, here are some security questions. And what's the name of your friend growing up? Easy. And I type it in. They said, that's incorrect. I'm like, no, it's not. He's my friend. It's just one step after the other. But if I want those restaurant reward points, listen, beloved, I'm going to take those steps. We had to do something at our bank, and the same problem, but this is all very public. I had to go to the bank, handle an issue. And then same thing, they asked me, what's your username? I'm like, I've already been trained not to tell people my username. They said, seriously, what it is, we got to put it in. And I said, I don't know. And he looked over his glasses at me and said, you don't know. I said, no, I don't know. Do you know? Tell me. You have my money. You tell me what my username is. And then we had to reset everything. Now, if I want to get to the end goal with apps, you got to take steps. Beloved, you want to grow in your relationship with God, you've got to take steps. You can't stay just in salvation. God's saying, get baptized. Take that next step. Take the step of membership. Take the step of service and exploring your gifts. Why would you stop and say, I'm saved, I'm good? Yeah, you are good, but you're not great. God wants you to continue to take steps in sanctification until you see him face to face. Baptism is this step after salvation. The first step, salvation, is internal. It's the soul. It's the change that happens in the inward man. The second step, baptism, is external. It's a public witness. It's the way you show others what happened to your soul. Now, there's more steps after this to pursue, but the first two steps are huge. And in all these steps, we hear the voice of God saying, keep going. We also hear the call of God saying, deny yourself. Whatever you think, forget it. Listen to my voice. This is what it says in Mark chapter 8. After Jesus was calling out to people that says, yes, I'll follow after you. Jesus, in calling the crowd to him with his disciples, he said to them, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel's will save it. It's that call to take the next step. Back in Matthew chapter 3, we'll go down to verse 13, to the baptism of our Lord Jesus, verses 13 through 15. It says this: Then Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan to John to be baptized by him. John would have prevented him, saying, I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me? But Jesus answered him, Let it be so now, for thus it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he consented. Within baptism, here's the third element that shapes our understanding. We see the challenge of humility. The challenge of humility. John was preaching and he was baptizing and he was ministering on behalf of the Lord. You know who shows up? The Lord Jesus. Can you imagine if you're John and you're preaching and then God shows up, like, let me hear what you got. Now, not very often I'm nervous because people in the congregation, but there are times I think, this guy's got a doctorate, this guy's been on the mission field, this family has done this. Sometimes I'm like, man, I better bring it today. I better get on my A game. Can you imagine John preaching, baptizing, and then he looks up and he sees Jesus Christ? Uh-oh. I should have worked better on my illustrations. My jokes better be on their top. And then Jesus came forward to be baptized. And John said, no way. No. I need to be baptized by you. You can't come to me. In verse 15, he says, let it be so to fulfill all righteousness. I'm not talking about just us or John. I'm talking about the Lord Jesus. When John saw Jesus, he saw the Son of God in the multitude. And John had to humble himself and he had to baptize Jesus. With humility in mind, not just John, but let's shift the focus to our Lord Jesus in regards to baptism. Why was he baptized? It's not because of repentance. It's not for the confession of sins or for the forgiveness of sins. Why did Jesus need to be baptized to show us humility? To show us what it means to be of lowly estate. When we see not just the baptism, but also later the temptation, we see the ministry, we see the death of Jesus, all of that is marked by humility, thinking lower of yourself than you should. This is what it says in Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 8. This is the Christ hymn of the early church. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God as a thing to be grasped. Listen to this. But emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, yes, even death on a cross. This is the challenge of humility. And that is the question we answer when we talk about baptism. Will you humble yourself? If you profess faith, you've confessed, you've repented, you've been changed inwardly, will you take the next step and humble yourself? In 2 Kings, there's a man named Naaman who is the commander of the army of Syria. And scripture says in that text that he was a leper. He went to the prophet of God at the day, his name was Elisha. And Naaman said, I would like to be healed. Would you pray for me? Would you heal me? And Elisha said, yes, go dip 7 times in the Jordan River and you'll be healed. And scripture tells us in the Old Testament, Naaman went away angry. There's no way the Jordan River is going to save me. There's other rivers of purer water than this. Why would I go to that muddy river to get healed? And the servant girl said, give it a shot. Naaman, in all his glorious militaristic splendor, humbled himself to go to the muddy water, and he dipped seven times, and on the seventh time, as he exited the waters, the leprosy washed away. All of that because he humbled himself. God tells us in his word, he wants no part of the arrogant, the proud, or the haughty. He distances himself from them. But if you look up the word humble in a thesaurus or a dictionary or biblical encyclopedia, God loves the humble. It says he is near the humble. His eyes look for the humble. Why? Because the humble honor him. He is close to the humble. He blesses the humble. And scripture says, yes, those who humble themselves now will be exalted later. But we see this challenge of humility in baptism, saying, yes, I will humble myself. I want to follow God, and I'm going to deny myself in the process. It's humility. We see this in John. We see this in Jesus. But sometimes, beloved, we don't see it in us. That's why it's a challenge. Back in the text, Matthew chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. And when Jesus was baptized, immediately he went up from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and coming to rest on him, and behold, a voice from heaven said, "This is my beloved Son with whom I am well pleased." The fourth element to our understanding of baptism, according to his word, is the commitment to faithfulness. So it's not just the challenge of humility, it's the commitment to faithfulness. John was faithful in his ministry of baptism. When people confessed, when people repented, he baptized. And when Jesus showed up, based upon his own righteousness, John baptized him in a different way. He baptized him because of verse 15 says, to fulfill all righteousness. Jesus was faithful to God's will. God sent his only beloved Son, only begotten Son, to the world to save the world through the cross. So when we see the baptism of Jesus, we not just see humility, we see faithfulness. You say, "Pastor, explain that." Okay, I will. He was faithful to God, and in doing so, he validated John's ministry. He said, "This is my messenger." When Jesus was baptized, not only did he do this for the sake of John, listen, beloved, he did it for the sake of you. He identifies with us. We have a high priest, Hebrews says, that can identify with us. He was tempted in all ways we were tempted, yet without sin. He knows the struggle. He knows everything we're faced. But this idea of faithfulness takes on new meaning when Jesus is about to start his formal ministry. When John says, "Behold, it's the time of the year the Lord has come. Get ready, God is on his way," and then Jesus shows up. The scripture being referenced in the gospel is referenced from Isaiah 42, verse 1. God the Father quotes his own self. "Behold, my servant whom I uphold, my chosen in whom my soul delights. I have put my spirit upon him. He will bring forth justice to the nations." Jesus got baptized to fulfill all righteousness, not for the sake of repentance or confession. He did it to start his ministry, to show his faithfulness. Now, the way Luke records this is very similar to Matthew. The picture of the dove descending on him in bodily form, the Holy Spirit. The picture of a dove flapping its wings in Matthew chapter 3 is the same word choice as Genesis chapter 1 when it says the Holy Spirit hovered over the waters of creation. We see when Jesus gets baptized, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit are all there together. a sign of God's faithfulness. Now we shift to us. Now we shift to that question, do you take the next step? Have you taken the next step? Are you still faithful with that step? You ready to take a commitment? Make it a faithful commitment. Sometimes we make baptism a ritual to join the church. It's really a way to say, Christ, I'm joining with you. We sometimes use the phrase, he's my ride or die, talking about our best friend. Or these girls are my squad. I'm not saying that about me, but about somebody else. Like, these are my people. This is my team. They got my back. Baptism is the way we talk about Christ. We're committing to being faithful. It's us till the end. It's like a marriage covenant. For richer or for poor. In sickness and health, Jesus, I'm with you. Wherever you want me to go, I'm going. Because baptism is really saying I'm all in. That's what it's saying. Forget everything else. Forget everyone else. Jesus, you mean more to me than anything. It's that idea, that old hymn we sometimes sing, the cross before me and the world behind me. I mean, I am all in. I'm committing to being faithful. I am not turning back, because baptism shows our faithfulness. It's no holding back, no reservations, just faith. I'm going to do this because Christ has called me to do it. The voice in the wilderness cried out to repent. The kingdom of God is at hand. The messenger, that's me. I'm just the messenger, but there is one mightier than I is coming. He says, I baptize you with water, but he's going to baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand, and he's about to burn the waste product to find out who is really following after God. If you've never repented of your sins, you never confessed you need a Savior, today's your day. Whether you're listening in person, whether you're listening online, God can still speak to your heart. No one is beyond the saving reach of Christ. Maybe you say, I've been saved, but I've never been baptized. I've never taken that step. Maybe it's for whatever reason. Maybe you've pushed it off. Maybe you've delayed it. Make that decision. Keep being faithful. And to the believer in the room, you say, I'm saved, I'm baptized. Man, I got all this message scot-free. I'm good. Are you still walking in newness of life? You remember the moments after baptism? Man, I will take on the world. I will charge the gates of hell. And then over time, we seem to lose that spark of spirituality. Like Israel, sometimes we forget our God. You say, Pastor, that's me. Here's what you do. You say, God, forgive me. I repent. Give me back the joy of my salvation. Give me that fire that comes from your Holy Spirit. As I walk with you, God, renew my strength. Do something great in my life. Maybe these options that I mentioned don't deal with you, and God is dealing with you in a separate way. If you need to pray, if you need to pray with me or other leaders, we'll have a time before us that you can do that. If you need to make a decision today, respond to God, the Holy Spirit. We pray. Let's pray. Father, we thank you today for the word, the message of John. And Father, it can be so simplistic. Repent, change, be baptized. We make it a lot, or sometimes we add details and clarify, but Father, may we keep it so simple. May we respond in faith, inwardly, in our souls. And Lord, if we need to make that a public witness, I pray that we would do that. Father, speak to hearts that are willing, that are yielding to your Spirit. Father, I pray over our time, our response, that people would spend time with you. They take inventory of their souls, that they would do business with you right now. Father, I pray for repentance. Lord, I pray for clarity. Lord, I pray that those in attendance today, those listening to this online, would have a breakthrough in their lives, that you would work in a way that you haven't done yet. Father, may we humble ourselves in the sight of a great God. Father, would you meet the broken and the needy, those who are not exalting themselves. And Father, may people, when they see us, see the Christ who humbled himself, yes, who was obedient even to the point of death. May we look like our Lord. Father, speak to hearts, and Holy Spirit, may you lead as you see fit, and may we say yes. We ask all of this in Jesus' name. Amen.